Following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on April 28, 1985 at New Orleans, Louisiana. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 7, Verse 40.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. It is learned from the Vedic literature that by performing great sacrifices, one may elevate himself to the heavenly planets. However, life in the heavenly planets is hundreds and thousands of times more comfortable than life on earth. The heavenly planets are not pure, nirmalam, or free from the taint of material existence. The heavenly planets are also temporary, and therefore they are not the goal of life. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has never been seen or heard to possess inebriety. Consequently, for your own benefit and self-realization, you must worship the Lord with great devotion as described in the revealed scriptures. Report. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Kshine punye martalokang vishanti. Even if one is promoted to the higher planetary systems by performing great sacrifices, which are accompanied by the sinful act of sacrificing animals, the standard of happiness in Swarga Loka is not free of disturbances. There is a similar struggle for existence even for the King of Heaven, Indra. Thus, there is no practical benefit in promoting oneself to the heavenly planet. Indeed, from the heavenly planets, one must return to this earth after one has exhausted the results of his pious activities. In the Vedas, it is said, Yad yate ha karma jito loka kshiyate evam evamutra punya jito loka kshiyata. As the material positions we acquire here by hard work are vanquished in due course of time, one's residence in the heavenly planets is also eventually vanquished. According to one's activities of piety in different degrees, one obtains different standards of life, but none of them are permanent, and therefore they are all impure. Consequently, one should not endeavor to be promoted to the higher planetary systems, only to return to this earth or descend still lower to the hellish planets. To stop the cycle of going up and coming down, one must take to Krishna consciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore said, Brahmando Brahmite Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lota Beach. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 19.151. A living entity is rotating in the cycle of birth and death, going sometimes to the higher planets and sometimes to the lower planets. But that is not the solution to the problems of life. But if by the grace of Krishna one is fortunate enough to meet a guru, a representative of Krishna, one gets the clue to returning home back to Godhead, having achieved self-realization. This is what is actually desirable. Bhajatatma labhataye. One must take to Krishna consciousness for self-realization. Thus in the Bhakti Vedanta, translation and purport to text 40, chapter 7, canto 7 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the chapter entitled, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. So, today, we're celebrating Dwadasi with initiations here in the morning. First initiation, second. And in this verse it advises us, scriptures advise us, we should avoid the desire to go to the heavenly planets. So most devotees may spoof at this and think, well, I don't desire to go to the heavenly planets. I want to go back to Krishna. They don't realize that it's not so much just the occasional thought that I want to go to Krishna that will dictate where we go. We have to think, feel, will. We have to think, speak, and do accordingly. Srila Prabhupada mentioned that many of his disciples would not make it back to Krishna, would go to the heavenly planets instead. This is explained by Sanatana Goswami, that if one maintains the attachments for the material world while chanting Hare Krishna, by rendering devotional service, and renders conditional devotional service, desiring particular kind of place, a better place, particular type of situation, the tendency will be that when one is offered residence in the heavenly planets, one won't be able to turn it down, because one has not trained oneself to simply be unconditional and only want to serve Guru and Krishna wherever, whenever, under whatever conditions. So when one's offered the heavenly planets and one thinks, oh, this is a very nice place, I'd like to serve Krishna in this place, or I'd like to be in this place, instead of going back to the spiritual world, which is much better, one takes the lowest denominator and ends up in the heavenly planets. Unfortunately, from there, there's every opportunity to fall back down again to the lower planets and not go back up to the spiritual world immediately. So to stop the cycle of coming up and down, just as Lord Chaitanya had said that na kave sarga utaya kave naraka dubai janda janda rajo jano narite chubai. Jai Nitai Gaur, Jai Raha Raha Kantaki. Stop the cycle of sometimes going up, sometimes coming down in the different planetary systems. One takes shelter of the pure devotee of the Lord. One takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master coming in the disciplic succession and achieves devotional service to the Lord. The Bhakti Lota Beach, which one gets at first initiation, is to be watered very carefully by hearing and chanting, by following the regulative principles, by avoiding offending of the devotees, by avoiding the weeds or unwanted creepers of different kinds of material desires. Otherwise, these unwanted creepers may force us to take birth instead of in the spiritual world, possibly in Swarga Loka, or worse. So, when one takes the Bhakti Lota Beach and one puts all of one's attention on that spiritual creeper, waters the spiritual creeper, defends it against other kinds of materialistic desires, so that the spiritual creeper can grow and grow, cross out of the material world, go far beyond the heavenly planets, go beyond the impersonal Brahman, effulgence, beyond Vaikuntha Loka, and finally take shelter in Golok Vrindavan, the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Radha Kanta. This is very important. If we don't give that absolute attention to our devotional creeper, the other creepers will grow, but the other creepers cannot penetrate the material universe. The other creepers will keep us here in one way or another. So, it's not an accident that one finds a guru, representative of Krishna. It's by the mercy of Krishna. And certainly by strictly following, just as Prabhupada has come to the Western world, come all over the world, and given Krishna consciousness. He said that his disciples are his spiritual children, and his disciples of his disciples would be his spiritual grandchildren. So that everyone connected to the Krishna conscious movement through the process of initiation is eternally a grand disciple or grandson, daughter of Srila Prabhupada. They have a perpetual or eternal relationship with Srila Prabhupada and obligation. In the broader sense, everyone in the West that ever heard of the Hare Krishna mantra basically has only to owe their debt to Srila Prabhupada and his disciplic succession, because it's by his mercy that that the Hare Krishna mantra has come over here to the Western world at all. At the time of initiation, one has to pray to Krishna. Just as Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman parityaja mamayakam saranam bhajaham tam sarva papebhyo mokrishyami mahasucha. You simply surrender unto me, abandoning or renouncing or giving up all other religions, all other occupational duties, and simply depend upon me. I will protect you from all sinful reactions. So one has to actually take shelter of Krishna with that conviction. What is the use if we take shelter of Krishna but we don't actually depend upon Krishna? We don't actually do whatever will be most pleasing to Krishna. That type of conditional surrender is not symptomatic of pure devotion. So we take advantage of the mercy of Krishna in the form of meeting a guru and taking initiation by dedicating ourselves completely to the devotional service of the Lord. After putting in a lifetime of self-realization just for a slight bit of negligence, if again we have to take birth again, or we don't reach the spiritual world and we go to some other planet, then what will be the advantage? In fact, the danger then is that if we go to the heavenly planets, then Lord Chaitanya's movement will already be out of the material universe by the time that one has to take rebirth again, because one lives so long in the heavenly planets. That's why it says in other parts of the Bhagavatam that there are denizens of the heavenly planets who are crying to be able to take birth in this earth planet now when Lord Chaitanya's movement is present. Because in a short 50, 60, 70 years, by simply absorbing oneself and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and rendering devotional service and Lord Chaitanya's movement, one can get transferred back to the spiritual world. So the people that are present today in this world actually have the greatest opportunity. And those who take initiation in the Krishna conscious movement, their fortune is unlimited. But due to some carelessness, if we don't take proper advantage of this special benediction of Lord Chaitanya, even if we end up in the heavenly planet, what do we really gain? It'll be a curse in another form. Therefore, better to become very serious. Become very serious about our gardening, about gardening our spiritual creeper. Unless we're very serious about this responsibility to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly and to engage in devotional service with great determination, then there are so many pitfalls along the way. But if we're just a little careful to chant, to associate, then our success is assured. Prabhupada has reassured us about this, has promised us of his mercy in this regard. So one takes the Harinam initiation. This establishes the eternal relationship with the spiritual master and Prabhupada, previous acharyas. Then one has to avoid the 10 offenses to the holy name, which are repeated every morning. After chanting Hare Krishna for a period of some time, if one wants to further increase one's depth of commitment to serving Guru and Krishna, then they can take a second initiation. The second initiation, at that time, one is accepted as a brahmana, is able to serve the deity, has responsibility to chant the Gayatri mantra. When one's a brahmana, then one is responsible. The story about the King Krishna Chandra, a historical story, how he found a brahmana wearing a shaligram shila while he was evacuating. Whatever a Brahmin does, they're more responsible for, because he was offending the shaligram shila, he was going to be beheaded. Some things that a Brahmin does, minor things, they were excused in the Vedic time, but if they committed a spiritual offense, something that they were supposed to know better about, then they had to take 10 times the reaction. So, being a brahmana means that one has to be many times more responsible. Srila Prabhupada always stressed that when someone takes the brahminical initiation, if they deviate from the path of pure devotion, they engage in karmic activities, they have to take many times the reaction. They engage in sinful activity, it is much more serious, both for the disciple as well as for the spiritual master. The reactions are many times more profound. So this means that one has to be very careful not to neglect in any way any of the devotional principles. Maya has a way that the more one apparently progresses in devotional life, the more that Maya starts to increase her various means of trying to pull down that living entity. You see that it doesn't end even when one takes sannyas and Maya puts out more kinds of illusions and subtle pratishta, puja, love, and so on. Different kinds of material desires are tried to, and subtle, gross. Therefore Prabhupada said that even great sannyasis who gave up the material world to realize the absolute truth, they end up falling down and going into mundane politics, welfare work, and they give up the spiritual path. Sometimes yogis, they become enamored by their mystic power and then they start to show off to the public, getting some cheap fame, and then they declare themselves as avatars. So this kind of thing is there. When one tries to advance further in renunciation, further in spiritual life, Maya also tries to attract one by any means possible. If one's crossed over the gross attractions, then Maya starts with the more subtle attractions. And if one crosses over that, then Maya starts even with more subtle desires, which are very camouflaged, very much camouflaged as apparently spiritual desires. Therefore, one has to become very expert in knowing what is the Siddhanta, or what is the conclusion of our Krishna conscious philosophy. One has to learn this from the more advanced devotees, from the spiritual master very clearly. What is the verdict of the scripture? What is Maya? What is Krishna conscious? The Brahman means one who is able to remain on the transcendental platform. Brahman means transcendental. We remain transcendental by Mancha yoga vicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samati taitam bhamavaya kalpate, by constantly engaging in bhakti yoga. Brahmana Vaishnava is continuously supposed to engage in devotional service. No Maya. Otherwise, how will one remain on the transcendental platform? We're not interested in being the Brahmana Pandit of the Vedic Hindu tradition that want to go to Swarga, who are doing animal sacrifice, other kind of sacrifices like that, to get to the heavenly planet. Similarly, what is the use of a devotee who is engaging in pure devotional service to compromise their principles and then end up with the same result that one gets by doing this other type of karma kanda sacrifice, simply due to being a little careless, simply due to some careless attachment to the senses, the sense objects. Being a Brahmin, taking this second initiation, means that one is dedicated to preaching the Krishna conscious movement or to serving in a way which will help to the propagation of the Krishna conscious movement. The duty of a Brahmin is to teach, to read, and to teach others. Whatever knowledge we get, we don't want to keep it to ourselves. We want to, in turn, give it to others. In this way, it fructifies in ourselves. Chanakya Pandit was a famous Brahmin Pandit. He wasn't a pure Vaishnava, but he was very strict in his principles. Brahmana means that they're not trying to artificially increase the amenities of their life or the complexity of their life for the benefit of the Vedic culture at that time. Chanakya was requested to become the prime minister. But as a Brahmana, he wasn't supposed to take any employment. So he refused to take any employment. The king requested that I, without employment, be the prime minister. So then he said, well, I can become the prime minister without any remuneration. I can do that. But I don't want to stay in your palace. I don't want to compromise my position as a simple Brahmin. I'm going to live outside in my own simple grass hut, and I'm not going to stay inside any palatial quarter. I don't want to increase the comfort of my existence because I want to achieve self-realization. In the end, if I become attached to these type of opulent surroundings, there'll be every chance that I'll again have to take another birth. So although Chanakya Pandit, he was inclined possibly more towards the personal realization, it's not always exactly clear. He definitely, as a Brahmin, worshipped Vishnu. But he was very fixed in this principle of a Brahminical culture, living, simple living and high thinking. Now that the Krishna conscious movement is having more namhat preaching or folk preaching or congregational preaching, and many people living outside the temple are chanting, becoming pre-initiated, even taking first initiation, we're seeing that they're chanting and able to progress. I personally give the second initiation to those who are actually going to live more as brahmanas, who are going to live as a twice born person and take up the mission of preaching the Krishna conscious movement, that they're not going to compromise the principles. They should be an example for the others. People can recognize there may be many who are chanting, but they can look to the brahmanas that these are persons who are leading an exemplary spiritual life. What is the use of taking higher spiritual responsibility if we're not going to live up to it? So it's very important that for the glory of Srila Prabhupada, the previous acharyas, the sampradaya, that we preserve this integrity of the Brahminical initiation. People often, they fail to, I don't think this point can be repeated too many times, that when one takes the Brahminical initiation and then they break the regulative principles, the reactions that come upon them are multiple in effect. I've seen so many people become destroyed, my own godbrothers become destroyed in their spiritual life because they were not conscious of this fact, because they had taken second initiation and then deviated, that they were put under a much heavier reaction, which is harder to get out of. That's why personally, I have some, Prabhupada told me that it is not at all necessary to give second initiation or to take it. And in Mayapur, there are many people who have been there for 12 years. We have never given them second initiation. And my average time for second initiation in many places is 4 years. Although Prabhupada was very liberal giving in 1 year, and today even some people are getting after a period of 1 year because of the causeless mercy of the local authorities. One has to be very serious. Learn that from others' mistakes and don't make the mistakes. If one is very careful, if one is very fixed up, doesn't allow the mind to become strong, remains humble, Prabhupada stressed the point when we take second initiation, it's dvija, it's new birth. New birth means now we're a new infant. So we have to approach it from a very humble point of view, not from a point of view that now I am a Brahmin, just like Vishwamitra thought, now I am a Brahmin, now I can fight with Vishishta Muni, because now I'm already a Brahmin. Because he was trying to become a Brahmin from a Kshatriya. We take it in a very humble attitude that now I've got the opportunity to study Vedas in a more profound way, to study the Krishna conscious process in a deeper way, and to become more and more serious. Shouldn't just be a status symbol. Take Brahma initiation, you can chant a little better. And if someone doesn't chant, then what? You see, then everything is spoiled. We take Brahma initiation to become very serious in our commitments. To take another, we've already promised to serve Krishna eternally. We're already committed. There was a need of a second commitment. This is a further recommitment in a sense, and taking of a greater responsibility. Not only are we going to serve, but we're going to become qualified to serve in a completely spiritual way. Avoiding every trace, purifying yourself of every trace of material contact. Brahman means someone. In fact, I was present when Prabhupada asked people, what is Brahman? What is the spirit? What is self-realization? He would ask them, and if they couldn't say, he would say, what type of Brahman can you be? You don't even know what is the spirit. You don't even know what is Brahman. You don't know what is the spiritual world. He would reject them. I even saw Srila Prabhupada when he was teaching people how to count and they couldn't figure out how to count properly with their fingers, he'd say, you're not smart enough to be a Brahmin. Go back. Prabhupada personally told me the reason why he was so sick in India was especially because of Brahmanas that had fallen down. He had initiated too many unqualified disciples. Srila Prabhupada took that risk, took that great austerity, just to establish Krishna consciousness in this world, planted so many seeds. It's a very short time, hoping that some of the seeds would fructify and the Krishna conscious movement would continue. So we should see that how much Prabhupada has sacrificed for all of us, and try to become more and more responsible to actually preserve the great jewel that he has given us. That has been handed down from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Brahmana's duty is not only to preserve it, but try to teach it to others. By first their own example, and second by their instruction. The more one has a spiritual advancement, the more one is responsible to be an example to others. In every state, sometimes you find, like in India, some of the caste brahmanas, they may feel that, well, I'm a brahmana, therefore the others have to serve me. But you find in the brahmana Vaishnava, there is a different attitude. Their attitude is that we are the servant of the servant of the Lord. And I mentioned yesterday in a private darshan that even in India, the system is there that generally when they have any big feast, any of you have been to Mayapur when the Manipuri devotees come to feed the senior godbrothers? And at that time, these devotees, they always have the brahmanas do the distribution. I don't know if Guru Granth was there any time when the Manipuri syrup. In the Brahmana, it's a kind of interesting. They put their chadar around their head and they put it over their mouth so that their breath won't go on when they're distributing. But the Brahmana is serving the others. They're giving. Brahmana means he gets charity and he gives in charity. He doesn't keep it. He gets the mercy of Krishna, he gives it out. He gets a donation, he gives it to Krishna, uses it in Krishna's service, and then he gives it out in another form to the people. The Brahmana, nothing sticks, doesn't keep anything, like immediately gives to Krishna, takes it, and Krishna gives it out. He always remains simply attached to Krishna, only taking the minimum, whatever he needs. And that attitude of service. So we find that the Brahmanas, they do the main. I'm a little shocked sometimes in the West when I see the Brahmanas sit down and the Bhaktas serve. In India, no Brahmana would ever accept prasadam from the hand of a Bhakta. In the Bhakta, they don't have any standard of cleanliness. They don't know, they may go to the bathroom and not wash their hands. They may be offending prasad. They're giving that to you. The Bhakta means that he doesn't necessarily have any sense. They're not trained. Sometimes you see people walk off the street and they say, here, help us serve. That may be all right for some big feast to the karmi. But the standard that we've been seeing in India, that we've seen in the Krishna conscious temples there, is the more advanced devotees, they serve. Who served at the feast of Panihati? Sarup Damodar, Mukunda, the biggest devotees, to get the opportunity to serve the other. Lord Chaitanya started out, but he gave such big helpings that the people could never eat it. It was four times the normal helping. So then they said, Lord Chaitanya, please sit down, or we'll take it. Let's just sit down and take. So actually, the mood of the Brahmin Vaishnavas is one of increasing their service to Guru and Krishna and being an example to others. Because the Brahmin is detached, he sees everybody gets prasad. He sees that everyone gets the mercy of Krishna. Sometimes someone who's less advanced when they're serving, they may be thinking that, well, there'll be enough for me, and then everyone that he gives service to gets sick. So, anyway, that's a side issue, but the point is that the standard we see from our previous acharyas is that when someone took these higher responsibilities, it meant that they increased their service. So someone is not inclined to increasing their responsibility, to increasing their service, if they already feel overwhelmed with the amount of responsibility they have. So maybe they should wait before taking the additional responsibility. But if they feel enthusiastic and determined that they want to become more and more attached to the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna, no matter what it takes, then, of course, Brahma initiation is one very good opportunity. So is there anybody now that would like to pass up this time and wait until the next opportunity? Before putting these flowers in the garland, I think it's good to take a piece of white cloth and always just test the flower whether it leaves off stains, because I lost a few sets of clothes already. The conclusion of this verse is be fixed in going back to the eternal service of Krishna and don't get waylaid in the heavenly planets. Here in New Telavon, this is an extension of the spiritual world which you are bringing here by your devotion. Telavon is one of the 12 bones or forests of Vrindavan. There's a forest where Krishna killed the demon. Isn't that the Keshi demon? Right?
The Nakasura demon.
Huh?
The Nakasura demon.
Which one?
Deinakasura.
His name is Deinakasura. I always saw the picture of the one flying up in the trees. That's Deinakasura?
Yes.
The point is that, like that, there are so many demons that can come into our consciousness, come into our spiritual life. We have to be very careful to depend on Krishna, because by His mercy, those will be driven out. Krishna, He used to enjoy in the talavon, the tala fruits. Tala fruit is very juicy. Has a very fragrant smell. So Krishna used to enjoy with His cowherd boys and the calves there after eradicating the demon from the talavon forest. So, similarly, we have the opportunity here of serving Krishna and enjoying the nectar of Krishna's transcendental association and service. And we should keep the transcendental vibration all pervasive so that people will always be able to think of Krishna. If people are in need of more spiritual help, then they should take it. Having this association of so many wonderful Vaishnavas, just so that if we have any doubt in our mind, rather than keep it inside and let it rot, we discuss with other Vaishnavas. If we have any weakness, if we take their strength to help us to fight better with Maya. We all have to fly our own path back to Godhead. But as Prabhupada said, it's like a sailboat with favorable winds. If we have the association of the Vaishnavas, then they are just like good winds that fill our sails and drive us back to Krishna quicker. We need that type of association. So each person is individually responsible to try to give good association to others and try not to be a bad association. And if someone feels weakened, then they should try to take a good association in a humble mood so they can become quickly purified from the influences of ignorance and passion. One should never be attached to their qualities of ignorance or passion. One should only be attached to Krishna, should be very detached from everything that is separate from Krishna. This is the special instruction of this verse. Should not even be attached to the heavenly planets, which are very good, because that's also temporary. We should simply be attached to what is eternally good, Nitai Gaur, Radha Radha Kanta, Srila Prabhupada, the eternal service. Hare Krishna.